Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Casa Connection podcast, your podcast for everything foster care here at Casa of Somerset, Hunterdon, and Warren Counties, better known as Casa Shaw. I am Jeff Warren, and I'm here with my boss. She is awesome, and I mentioned it on a previous podcast, and she's going to remain awesome. We have the one and only...
I am Tracy Heisler, you guys. Jeff's too funny.
She's at her desk right now looking at me like, oh, would you knock it off with this stuff, and why don't we just get talking about the world of foster care here?
Well, I'll tell you, I have a birthday fundraiser going right now on Facebook, and Jeff donated, yes. And I almost way to preserve your job, but...
You should have. That would have been funny.
I thought it could have been taken wrong.
No, that would have been funny. That's my kind of sense of humor. I do like that. I like that type of stuff.
Great investment in job preservation.
There you go. Well, I mean, on this podcast episode, though, Tracy, we wanted to talk about a subject matter we actually have not talked about in, what, over a year that we have been doing this podcast now.
And it's a big deal, Jeff. We're talking today about kids aging out of the system.
Absolutely. And on average... annually, 23,000 children age out of foster care, just instantly losing access to nearly every form of support. And this is a huge, huge issue in the world of foster care. It's something we've talked about a lot, not just within our CASA program here in the state of New Jersey and throughout the United States as well. And I think throughout the world, too.
Well, and here's the thing. New Jersey was an early adopter of giving kids expanded access to care from 18 to 21.
Yep.
That is now federally required. Every state in the country should be providing services and supports to kids to 21. But it's complicated. So many of the kids that we serve, by the time they turn 18, they've just had enough. They've had enough of people telling them what to do, enough of not having control over where they live, enough of feeling powerless. So many of them check out.
And they get to that age of 18. They're like, I'm an adult. I just want to make my own decisions.
Right.
I am tired of people saying, I need to do this. I need this requirement fulfilled here. I just want to live my life. But there is a problem with that,
unfortunately. And there is data that supports the idea that kids in that 18 to 21 cohort who choose to leave have much higher rates of homelessness.
20%, in fact, 20% become instantaneously homeless.
Yeah, and end up couch surfing and then or living on the streets.
Yes.
It also puts them at a higher risk of trafficking.
Yes.
For kids coming out of care.
And in fact, 60% of young women, I don't have the stats with regard to men, but 60% of young women who age out end up in the sex trafficking industry, unfortunately.
Isn't that just...
It's shocking. Tragic.
It is tragic. Mm-hmm. I'm going to guess that 60% of kids who are trafficked came out of foster care, not 60% of kids who age out.
Oh, that's correct. Yes, they came, well, they have had some sort of history within the child welfare system.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's also significantly higher levels of mental health issues and of physical health issues.
Yes.
Of the stress of living rough and not having any kind of access to health care. Can really put kids at risk.
25% of youth who age out are dealing with some kind of PTSD, and that is compared to 4% of the general population. I mean, let's think about that, folks. 25% of foster youth who age out of the system are dealing with some sort of unaddressed post-traumatic stress disorder. I mean, the vast majority of foster youth enter the system because of abuse or neglect, but even those who have not been exposed to trauma, the foster care system itself can be extremely traumatizing. It's just a traumatizing atmosphere in place, being moved from this home, to this school, to that school, and the uncertainty of what life is going to bring and that instability. There's PTSD that comes with that.
Absolutely. And, you know, we talk a lot in our program about developmental trauma that with these adverse childhood experiences and how it can actually change how our kids' brains are built.
Right.
You know, from the bottom up. In addition to some of the other challenges that we've talked about, less than 3% of kids in foster care will graduate from college.
Yes.
And it's not because they're not any less bright than their peers, but all of these confounding factors of where am I going to live? How am I going to eat? Who's going to pay my cell phone bill? How am I going to get there? They really put up barrier after barrier to meaningful access. And for those kids who do make it into college, which is fantastic, yay, good for you, they end up homeless during the breaks because there's no place for them to be.
Exactly, exactly.
Over summer break, over Christmas break, over spring break. And what do you do?
Exactly.
We need to put a lot more supports, a lot more resources into helping these kids.
It's one of the reasons why CASA volunteers also are so important. We've talked on this podcast before about a certain volunteer that we have here within our program, and his name is Joe, and the advocacy that he has done for his particular
Joe
child.
Joe rocks.
Yes, Joe is Joe's a killer. He has slayed the educational programming to the point where the foster youth that he has been advocating for years, probably 4 years ago, was not going to be going to college. Okay. But guess what?
He graduated from high school.
And he has the opportunity to continue on with his education after high school here. And it is fantastic to see. And why? One, because there's a certain level of persistence and perseverance that foster youth not only had, but he had an advocate by his side in Joe. And that's so important.
And he had checked out 4 years
ago.
He
absolutely did.
He was ready to be, I'm done.
Yep.
But Joe would not let that be an option.
Right.
And I think that's part of what we can do a better job of here at CASA is paving the way, making it smoother so that when kids do turn 18, 19, 20, that they don't check out, that they stay involved,
yes,
so that they can access those federal dollars. They're called CHAFEE funds, CHAFEE, I think, which gives them money towards housing, gives them
right.
money towards health insurance for their phone, help sometimes for cars, whatever it is that they need to be successful. One of the other spaces that I think is really a good idea for CASA programs is to partner with your local VOTEC or your local junior college.
Great idea.
And
yeah.
see, how you can help with facilitating job training, certificate programs
yes.
for our older kids
yes.
so that they have a marketable skill before they age out.
I think that when we talk about this particular issue of aging out, for me, and I'm hoping you agree with this, but I think the one issue that is the most persistent, I think that needs to be gauged more, is unstable housing and homelessness. Because at the end of the day, our mission here at CASA is to make sure that foster youth have a safe, permanent home. And that transcends in life for everyone, all of us. We need to have a safe and somewhat permanent home in order to have educational opportunities or be able to actually embark on those educational opportunities. We need to have a safe and stable home in order to have food to eat, essentially, to be able to cook our meals, to be able to do the, quote, things we take for granted in life, to be able to do those in order to be whatever successful means to you. And at the end of the day, it means stable housing, not being homeless. And I think that is the most critical aspect of the aging out issue. If we can start to engage in that, then I think we're going to help take that 23,000 number that we mentioned earlier in the podcast, bring that down significantly. If somebody has a safe and permanent home, then they're not going to be homeless. And I know, easier said than done, folks. I know, Jeff, easier said than done. But if we really start engaging that more, I think we're going to see the aging out numbers start to go down.
No, I completely agree with
you. Okay,
Jeff.
Good.
And I'm actually dealing with this right now of trying to find affordable housing for someone who only has an income of $1,400. There's no
per month, right?
Per month.
Yeah.
Yep. There's mm-hmm. no access to affordable housing
yeah.
available. You have to get on a wait list, but you can't be on the wait list if you live out of county. But county is that even just to rent a room
yeah.
is $1,000 a month.
Right.
And landlords are looking for good credit history. You have to make three times what your rent is
yep.
to be able to afford it. It puts people on the streets.
Absolutely. If you do not have stable housing when you are coming out of the foster care system, and by the way, there's instability throughout your life if you are getting ready to age out. So the expectation that a foster youth is simply going to be able to get on their feet and to be able to provide that stability for themselves. How many times have we said it on this podcast, Tracy?
Of pulling yourself up by your bootstraps.
Yeah, pull yourself up from your bootstraps. You got to have the boots first, folks, right? Got to have the boots first. So the housing is so incredibly important.
It is. And we can and should do a better job.
Yes, we absolutely should.
We were having a discussion, a friend of mine and I, the other day about the increase in the homeless population for mentally ill people
that's
who used to be
warehoused,
for lack of a better term, which was no great shakes either, but we didn't understand why they couldn't take some of those facilities, renovate them into affordable housing units, and have them available for people with needs.
Right. I think there's a place. I mean, look, you know, let's keep politics at the door. But when it comes to public policy in terms of gauging foster youth, from a public policy standpoint, our elected officials, to a large extent, have, in fact, engaged with foster care. They have not done as good a job as what to do in these situations after someone has aged out. That's the next step, folks. That is the next tier within this system of trying to be able to provide some sort of assistance to people who truly need it, who don't have the boots in order to pull those straps up.
And it really behooves us to disrupt this cycle earlier.
Yeah.
One of the other outcomes that we see for aged out foster youth is higher rates of unplanned unwed pregnancies for our girls.
Right.
And it because they are vulnerable to a quid pro quo system, you know, you give me sex, I'll feed you.
Right.
You know?
Yep.
And so if we don't want to see this continue intergenerationally, we need to stick something in that wheel to make sure that the kids are getting what they need so that they aren't living in chaos and desperation.
It's so profound what you just said, because I go back to, and not to get too personal and pull back the curtain here, but I was on a trip with my father this past Tuesday where he was saying goodbye to his sister who's passing away from cancer. We drove up to upstate New York. He and I had so many amazing conversations about his childhood. He was actually telling me things that I did not know. I knew that he came from a traumatic background. I knew that he and his family, having a father who was an alcoholic, who was physically violent with not only his mother, who ended up just leaving the family at the age of 7 and never coming back home, but was physically abusive to his brothers, sisters, himself. And the resiliency that my father had, being able to get into the Air Force after graduating from high school and being able to use the GI Bill to then go to college, for whatever reason, his brother and his sisters just did not have, whether it was the resiliency, you call it intestinal fortitude, whatever, to do that. But there's also a component where the trauma was just too much from their childhood for them to be able to move forward. For some reason, my father was, and whatever that was, and whatever the reasons why, he was able to do it, but the other kids weren't able to do it. And it created this perpetual cycle, because my aunt, who's passing away, her family was very much the same way. And the cycle continued to perpetuate itself. So we can't just sit back and say, okay, well, let's hope the cycle of abuse, the cycle of trauma breaks. We need to engage it early, like you were saying. And I thought about that a lot on this trip with my dad. He was the lucky one. But we can't base public policy, we can't base what we're doing in the world of foster care on luck. We just can't do that. So sorry for pontificating here, but I wanted to throw that story out, because we just can't idly sit by and say, okay, hopefully this family is lucky at some point someday, and hopefully this child ends up breaking the trauma that has been persistent throughout their family history.
No, and thank you for sharing that, Jeff.
Yeah, sure.
And it really, I mean, this speaks to why we spend so much time in our program on ACEs education.
Yes.
Helping people to understand the impacts of this kind of intergenerational trauma and find ways to disrupt it earlier.
Absolutely.
But at the bottom line, end of the day, aged out kids in many ways are still young kids, because their ability to emotionally develop has been disrupted.
Absolutely.
Because of everything they've been through. So You have an 18-year-old, you figure, oh, 18-year-old, get a job. Well, emotionally, they may be 10.
Right.
And may not have the interpersonal skills to be able to maintain that job.
Absolutely.
So that's another space where I see CASA programs being able to help is partnering with local corporations for maybe an internship program or job skills training.
Yes. Days. You mentioned VOTEC earlier. I think that's extremely important, those partnerships.
But we have to give kids ways to survive.
Absolutely.
And thrive. Not absolutely. Just survive, but to thrive.
We want them to thrive. We absolutely do. Again, we take our CASA Joe, who we were talking about earlier, our super CASA.
Joe rocks.
And he was able to help his CASA child inevitably thrive. That's what we strive for here. So that's going to do it for this CASA Connection podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. Please share this with any family members, friends, colleagues, coworkers that you know that may be benefit from this particular episode and just our CASA Connection podcast in general. Tracy, do you have anything else before we head out of here?
Just be kind to kids that you see on the street.
Yes.
They generally did not choose to be there.
That's exactly
not how they would have wished things to be.
Absolutely. Great way to end this CASA Connection podcast. CASAShaw.org. You can find us on the interwebs there. You can also find us on Instagram at CASA_Shaw and like our Facebook page. Search us out there. We'd appreciate that like and follow. Take care, folks, and we will catch you on the next CASA Connection podcast.
Have a great day.